The subjects for tonight, we're probably not going to get too much to preventative medicine, but I'll try to throw it in at various points in time. But I wanted to speak to you, firstly, about Shomer Shabbos residencies and the whole concept of being a Shomer Shabbos in a health profession. And then we'll get to the meat of the halacha for tonight, which is we're talking about Bikkur. Very informal. Raise your hand, ask me a question anytime. Nothing is embarrassing. Nothing is out of the realm of what you can ask. If I don't have an answer for you, I'll tell you. I don't know the answer. If I would refer you to some of the rabbanim over here to get more of a psak halacha, so then by all means. First and foremost, that everybody needs to know is that because you're in a profession doesn't mean that halacha goes out the window. Halacha always is primary. Whatever you're going to do, you have to know the halachas of it. So it's a medical student, a dental student, a chiropractic student, whatever type of student you are, you have to know what the halachas are. You have to know how to make a Kiddush Hashem. Most important. Your job is to make a Kiddush Hashem. Your job is not to cause trouble. You're not to cause unnecessary, my religion doesn't allow this or that. You have to work with whoever it is that you're going to be dealing with if you want to make a Kiddush Hashem. And also, be practical if you want to get what you're looking to get. If the test is being given on Shabbos, you have to explain to them, you're not allowed to take a test on Shabbos. But there's a way to do it as a mensch, there's a way to do it as a boor. And the boorish way is never going to get you very far. Let's stick, though, to the subject of Shomer Shabbos residencies, because that's, I think, one of the things or the questions that people ask me most frequently. Is a person obligated to go to a Shomer Shabbos residency? Is there any heter for a person to work on Shabbos? Is there a requirement to switch? If you do switch, who do you switch with? You switch with a Jew? Do you switch with a non-Jew? You switch with a Shomer Shabbos? You're allowed to switch with a Shomer Shabbos? You can't make it that day. You have to find coverage. You're allowed to call up your partner who's a Shomer Shabbos and say, I can't work this Shabbos. I need you to cover for me. Is he allowed to accept that? So the shilas are going to be much, much more serious shilas when you actually get into the situation where you're able to provide care yourself. As a student, there is much more limited ability or heter under any circumstance for you to be, quote, mechal Shabbos. When I say mechal Shabbos in this situation, I'm not talking about being mechal Shabbos. I'm talking about doing work which would otherwise be not permissible, but to do it on Shabbos in a permissible way. The Hatzolah guy who go take somebody in his car, he's not being Mechal Shabbos, he's being Mekayim Shabbos. The halach is he's supposed to do that. But we'll use the terminology Mechal Shabbos because that's what it looks like. I don't want people to misunderstand when I use the term Chilul Shabbos, but it's permissible Chilul Shabbos, which is called Kiyum Shabbos. It says that you're allowed to desecrate the Shabbos if it's going to allow you to go and keep many Shabbosos in the future. So this is a very, very important principle. Sure.
Aren't there a lot of things that you're going to be doing in your residency that you're not necessarily saving someone's life? You know what I mean? There's a lot, like, we always know that if you drop someone off at the hospital, you can't close your door behind you.
Well,
you got to leave the car running through.
So you basically gave half the share as the question. So there's what you're saying is all 100% true and needs to be explored. Under what circumstances can you close the car door behind you? Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Are things that are not pikuach nefesh is permitted in a hospital, not permitted in a hospital. So this is all part of the question of, are you obligated to put yourself in such a situation? Are you allowed to put yourself in such a situation? And then you have to know hilchos Shabbos. So this will segue perfectly into the first thing is that there are heterim to work on Shabbos for pikuach nefesh or similar type situations. The question that I want to first address is this an optimal situation, or is this a bidyeved situation? Should a person try not to work on Shabbos, or should a person say, I'm allowed to work on Shabbos in certain regards, in certain situations, and therefore, it's heter gomer, it's l'chatchila, permissible, and I have no obligation to try to switch with somebody else. So what do you guys think?
Well, it's bidyeved.
It's bidyeved.
What's the case exactly? Is it that you're a practicing doctor already and it's pikuach nefesh, or that you're a student in residency?
Okay, so that's a very important point. If you're a student and you're not really doing anything for pikuach nefesh, you're just learning, so then you're absolutely not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. There's no heter for a student to be mechal Shabbos. person can't say, listen, I want to be in a situation, I want to someday know a lot of medicine so I can help people in a chilush, in a pikuach nefesh situation, so I'm going to be mechal Shabbos today. So the person shach the shlita had the discussion with him. He said, A, number one, there's absolutely no mitzvah to be a doctor. So you can't say, well, I'm going to go do all this because it's a mitzvah to be a doctor. There is no mitzvah to be a doctor. There is a mitzvah once you know how to help somebody, then there's a mitzvah to go and help that person in that situation. And there's potentially a low satsay that you're over not helping somebody. A person has a chiyuv to do, to take care of somebody. We learn this out from Hashavas Aveda. A person has an obligation to return somebody's money. Alachas kam v'kam, you have an obligation to go return their health. So it's actually a kal v'chomer that we learn out that there is a tremendous mitzvah to go and help somebody. Plus, osamar al dam riecha. If somebody codes in the street in front of me, he has a heart attack, he stops breathing. I know how to do CPR. I know how to help this guy. Well, walk right fine. So then, all the osamar al dam riecha. I'm not a rotseach. I didn't murder the guy. But I let the guy die. That's a tremendous avla. But there is no chiyuv for me to go learn CPR. One cannot state from a halachic point of view that everybody in this room has an obligation to learn CPR. A good idea? That's a different story. That everybody should, you know how to do basic life support. Everybody should know how to handle basic emergencies. A wonderful idea. But a chiyuv, no. There is no such chiyuv. So as a student, you can't argue, well, I got to drive into the hospital because I'm going to learn to be a doctor and I'm going to learn to go save somebody's life. That's not a heter. There is no heter to go and be mechal Shabbos in order to gain knowledge that you'll be able to go save somebody's life. Yeah.
So right now you're saying the situation is if you have a choice. If you're given a choice to go in as a student on a Shabbat or not, or if you're not really given that choice, what if they're like, you have to be here, or like, whatever the consequences there are, or how you're supposed to do.
So this is a very difficult answer that I'm going to give you, but the answer is you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos for parnasa. So the only reason you're doing this is for parnasa, because right now you're not capable of doing it for pikuach nefashos, so you don't have the training. So you wouldn't be allowed to drive in on Shabbos as a student to go and do the wonderful, nice idea of learning in order to save somebody's life. So the eighth in that situation is sleep in the hospital. Don't be over Isurim. There is no Isser to be in a hospital on Shabbos. There is no Isser to watch. There is no Isser to watch somebody taking care of people on Shabbos.
You know, there's still a lot of things that you're doing that are in college, but it's not only driving.
So that depends. That's the point. As a student observing, you're not over any Isurim. So then we get into a hashkafic discussion. Is this the way a person should spend the Shabbos day? So then you can argue, yeah, I'm a student. I'm going to be a doctor. This is essential for my training. I'm not over any Yisurim. So how is this any different than me sitting and reading a novel in my house on Shabbos?
So there
are huge problems. But if you can get around the problems in terms of no Chilul Shabbos, then there is no a priori Isser and being in the hospital on Shabbos and following around the team, not taking notes, not doing Yisur. Now, if it's Pikuach Nefashos, the person suddenly is short of breath, you got to either run to the nursing station that's 20 feet away or press the button and call the code. So then you're like anybody else. You'll have to press the button and call the code because that's Pikuach Nefashos. Even though you're not a doctor, even though you don't have any knowledge what to do, anybody's allowed to pick up the phone and call Hatzalah.
Right.
So we have to talk about that also. You're asking all good questions. It's a very, 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 very important question. Okay. So, in terms of what a student can do, a student has, to my knowledge, no halachic right to go be mechal Shabbos. Just like if you have an important accounting test, if the CPA exam is on Shabbos, so you come to me or you come to your local rabbi, you write a letter saying so and so is a Sabbath observer, and I'll take the test on Sunday. You can't argue, well, the curve is better on Shabbos because I'm taking it with all the non-fluent people. I don't want to take it with all the fluent people.
That's
not a hector.
What if they say you can't change the test to Sunday?
So then if they can't change the test to Sunday, so then you have to ask yourself a question. What is the hector for me to write on Shabbos? if you can come up with a hefter, so then you would be allowed to take the test. If you can't come up with a hefter, and I could not come up with a hefter in that situation, you either flunk the test or you don't go to that school. You don't have a choice, in my opinion. And I'm open to anybody that has any halachic source that would say otherwise. As a student, for parnasa, that's all it is at this point. It's just for parnasa. There's no many people in this United States that gave up the job every Friday and went hungry, or their children didn't have food to eat on the table. The Shabbos was a stale piece of challah and some potato soup because they didn't have parnasa. But not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. A person's mechuyev to give up his entire wealth in order not to desecrate the Shabbos. To do a mitzvah, say, you don't have to give up your entire wealth. You have to give up a certain amount of your money, maybe a fifth, whatever the number might be. You buy a little bit of Esser, but the little bit of Esser is worth too much. You're not mechuyev to buy it. Onesh Rachmana Patrei, Kodesh Baruch Hu exempted you from the mitzvah. But if somebody says, listen, you're going to lose your job unless you mechal Shabbos, the answer is you have to lose your job, even though that's worth more than a fifth of your parnasa. That's your entire parnasa. So the din is, halacha l'maaseh, you're required to give up your job. Difficult, but that's not halacha. So before you go apply to a school, you certainly should find out what their policies are in terms of taking tests on Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, in the United States today, I can't speak for every single school, I can't speak for places outside the United States. In the United States today, it's essentially not a problem in terms of test taking. They will almost always make an accommodation. It gets to the point, I'll just tell you a very sad story from my career. Sometimes, foreign people take advantage. They were giving a pathology test when I was a second year medical student, and they had the nerve to schedule it on Purim. So some of the boys said, oh, we're not allowed to take a test on Purim. So I said, that's not true. You are allowed to take a test on Purim. And if you tell them you're not allowed to take a test on Purim, you're causing them a great deal of discomfort. They have one test. They have to make up a separate test. They have to worry about cheating. They have to worry about the test being given out before or afterwards. You don't have a halachic right to do that. You're not allowed to make stuff up because it's convenient to be off on Purim. You'd like to have your nice suit this Purim at the right time. Well, you have to work around the schedule. So in this situation, some of the boys made, in my opinion, a tremendous chilul Hashem, and they went to the administration and said, we really can't take the test on Purim. And I don't think that was correct. I think, in fact, it was wrong. I think it was a sheker. MS is very important. Making a Kiddush Hashem is very important. You are allowed to take a test on Purim. But if they give you a test, Erev Shabbos at 4 o'clock, and Shabbos ends at 5 o'clock, so you're not allowed to take the test unless you're going to make accommodations to sleep over and finish the test at exactly 5 o'clock. So you have to decide then, is this something that's worthwhile making a battle about? Or, I'm not going to be over any concern, it'll be a discomfort for me. I'm going to have to sleep at the school. I'm going to have to sleep by a friend's house when I normally would have gone home for Shabbos. So those types of considerations are already away. But you're not allowed to be over an issur. If the test is at 5 o'clock and Shabbos starts at 4:30, so then unless they'll let you take the test orally and somebody else will write the answers down for you, I don't know of any hefter for you to write in that situation. I'll write with a shina, I'll write with my left hand, I won't write with a, I'll write with a grumma pen, I'll write with a reversible ink type of pen. So those are, I don't think that knocks the issur away. It may knock it from the Doraisa to the Rabbanon, but where does it say you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos on the Rabbanon level for a test?
What you mean by Chilul Shabbos is, you said that it's kind of in the 39 rochas, and that's something that we went to Chilul Shabbos would say is not a good use of someone's Shabbos. Something that goes a bit more over to the Chol.
No. I haven't really gone into distinctions as to what is Chilul Shabbos in terms of the rise of the Rabbanon. Mm-hmm. But there is no heter unless there's a heter to be Mechal Shabbos on the Rabbanon. Versus Mechuyud not to be Mechal Shabbos on the Rabbanans, on Uvda Dechol, on any gedder that the Chazal put into place. You don't have the right to. It's only Muktzah. Muktzah is not a Daraisa. It's only Muktzah. I don't really like that Muktzah, Uvda Dechol. Muktzah, sorry, kids. Yeah, come on. You don't have the right to say something like that. Chaz v'shalom. Chazal said something, so you have to follow it. The fact that it's, quote, only the Rabbanan doesn't give you the right to be over any Isser on Shabbos, quote, even only the Rabbanan. Unless there's a heter, if it's bikuach nefashos, so let's just jump ahead a little bit. You're going to want to knock a deraisa down to the rabbanon if it will not interfere with the pikuach nefashos situation. If you're going to start doing everything, in a shinu dick way, and the guy's going to die in front of you because you didn't do it in the direct way, you're a chasid shinu. you're kimara rotseach in that situation. You're required to do everything in the normal way. You're required to be over every single deraisa except the three cardinal sins. So you have to have a little bit of knowledge.
How hard is it to actually get a Shomer Shabbos presidency?
Okay, so that brings us back on track. So now let's jump back. I don't mind that. I don't have a set curriculum that I have to discuss. I'm much more happy to discuss whatever you guys want to talk about. So Shomer Shabbos residency brings us to the fundamental question. You're already a doctor now. I'm not talking about a student. Student person should make sure, this is what I did, this is what other people have done, is you tell them, I can't work Shabbos, but boy, oh boy, I can work every Sunday. And boy, oh boy, can I come in, let's say Shabbos, and I'll come in Tuesday morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I can't come in on Shabbos. Or, if you're not in a situation to say that, then you say, I can come in on Shabbos, I'm walking in, I can't do any malacha. You can say the English word. You know what to do, malacha. You don't have a heter. There's no heter to write up your presentation for your preceptor. Again, I know people that unfortunately may not have known all these halachos, or they didn't follow all these halachos, because once I'm in the hospital on Shabbos, all halacha goes out the window. That's a terrible attitude. It's totally halachically incorrect. First is mechuyev to keep Shabbos. Just because you're in the hospital doesn't mean you're not mechuyev to keep Shabbos. So therefore, the question becomes, should you put yourself into a situation that you're going to be allowed to take heterim that will put you in a situation that you're doing something which would otherwise be Chilul Shabbos, but as I said, it's called Kiyum Shabbos now. So are you allowed to? I'll get to your Shomer Shabbos question in a second. So is it a L'chatchil or B'diyevet to a certain extent? This is based upon a famous halachic discussion that the Beis Yosef has, that the Beis HaLevi has. This will surprise you, and this is a major point of distinction, if you wish, between the Israeli poskim and the previous generation. Shlomo Salman Zatzal and Rav Moshe Zatzal, the great Israeli and American poskim of the previous generation. So they had a fundamental difference in terms of their understanding. How much of this Beis HaLevi is halacha l'maisa? Based upon various specifics, I'm not going to go through all the drushes over here. The Beis HaLevi basically said, let me step back. What would you think in this situation? I'm the doctor that's on call. I'm the Shomer Shabbos person. I'm scheduled to be on call. Am I allowed to go to Jacob Cohen, who's not Shomer Shabbos, who is going to be off that Shabbos, and say, Jacob, do me a favor. Can you take my call for me on Shabbos? I'll do Sunday for you. And Jacob says, sure, no problem. So what do you think?
On one hand, if you don't give a ten, both of you will be Mechal Shabbos.
Okay.
But on the other hand, you have no right to cause him to be directly Mechal Shabbos through you.
Okay, so what? Yes or no?
No.
Show of hands, who says yes? You're allowed to switch.
I hope so.
Okay.
It's his choice to be Mechal Shabbos or not. Okay. You're directly close. No.
Okay, so who says no? Okay, so most of you passing like Rishon Zalman, and you passing like Rav Moshe. So what exactly is the discussion? So the Beis HaLevi, which is the source of this psak from Rishon Zalman, the Beis HaLevi basically says that if a person acts on Shabbos in a halachically acceptable way, i.e., he's a doctor, there's a person in front of him, he's over various malachos d'araisot to save that person's life. The Beis HaLevi says, sorry, that's called Chilul Shabbos, because he's not doing it l'shem Shemayim. And the only way you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos on Shabbos, to be Mekayim Shabbos, is if you're doing it l'shem Shemayim. And how he derives that, not for right now, that's the Beis HaLevi. So only a frum person, according to the Beis HaLevi, is allowed, so to say, to be Mechal Shabbos for somebody on Shabbos, because he's doing it for the right purposes. A non-from person who's doing it because it's a good thing to do, it's a very nice thing to do, is not allowed to do that, because that's called Chilul Shabbos for him. So Rav Shlomo Zalman and I and others, the Shemim Shabbos Kehusa, I had discussed, I had this discussion directly with Rav Nuwit Zatzal, so sad to say Zatzal, discussion. I was supposed to have a discussion with him for about half an hour about this, because my Rebbeim and my position was like Reb Moshe, and his position was like his Rebbe, Rishlom Zalman. And we had I had an opportunity to listen to him. I had an opportunity to learn from him, and I had an opportunity to explain why maybe that wouldn't be as the same in America as it might be in Eretz Yisrael. The bottom line is, according to those poskim, you wouldn't be allowed to switch with a non-religious Jew. And therefore, it would be better in this situation for the person to go and take the call himself. He has a heter. He's a Shomer Shabbos. He's hopefully a day safer. He's going to know what he's allowed to do, what he's not allowed to do. Which reminds me of the next most important thing I want to tell you. And he's not over Chilul Shabbos. The non-religious person, well, he wants to go to the beach. That's on his own account. As you said, I'm not making him be Mechal Shabbos. He considered home and happy Mechal Shabbos. He's choosing to drive to the beach. He's choosing to drive to the mall. He's Mechal Shabbos on his own, not because I told him to. Whereas if I tell him to work in the hospital, I'm causing him to be Mechal Shabbos. I don't have the right to do that. Whereas if I work in the hospital, I'm happy Mechal Shabbos. That's the position of the Beit Salevi, as understood by Rosh Hashanah.
When you say Rav Moshe, yeah.
Rav Moshe disagrees with that. Rav Moshe says, it's not called Chilul Shabbos. It's either Heter or it's Aser. It's Heter. What does it mean? Who doesn't? It's Heter. I'm not sure how he would understand the Beis HaLevi, but he basically paskins that it's called Shmira Shabbos. This is called one of those situations where you push aside one Shabbos to observe many Shabbosos, and you'd be allowed to do anything for this person. What does it make if you're Shomer Shabbos or not? What does it make if you know the Halacha or not? He's doing it. So he has a Heter to do it. And this is the way Rav Moshe Paskin, the Rav Moshe would say, you'd be allowed to switch with a non-Jewish, with a non-religious fellow person. This is the way my Rebbeim, Rav Shechter, and Rav Willig Paskin, and this is the way I held. For the Baruch Hashem, I've never been in a situation where that applied. Because that'll bring me to the next thing, which is Shomer Shabbos residencies. But this is a fundamental, should you or should you not have to take a Shomer Shabbos residency, might be in some way dependent upon whether you pass like Rav Moshe or pass like Rav Shlomo Zalman.
I remember hearing about the same question, just in a different case, where somebody wanted to invite non from relatives for a Shabbos meal, they'd have to drive over. So I've heard Rav Moshe said, no, you're allowed to, because they're going to be staying at your house and not being mechallel from what they would usually do, so even though they're driving.
So it's a similar idea. The one caveat that I would add over there is you're supposed to offer them a place to sleep.
Right.
If you offer them a place to sleep and then they choose to go home, so then again, it's a shot. This comes up in Kiruv all the time.
Unless they go home like more than three times. If you invite them three times, and every time you offer them a place to stay, and every time they're leaving, and the fourth time, you're not allowed to invite them.
And I've not heard that. I don't know. Are you saying that in the name of somebody? Are you saying that as your own suggestion?
I've heard it before. I'm
not familiar with that. I would.
Then it's luck already. If you know that, they're not going to stay.
But even if you know that, I know they're not going to stay the first time. they didn't bring any pajamas. I'm not sure. I never heard that. I can't tell you. It may very well be. The fact that I don't know something is just about worthless in terms of a halachic discussion. I'm just not familiar with that off the top of my head. I would say, if I know Vazai, he's not, you know, they're driving in, they didn't bring pajamas, it's freezing cold outside, they're not walking home, you know, they have their winter coats, they have the keys in their hand, they're leaving my house, so I would have a hard time understanding. You have to offer them, because you have to at least give them a choice. Then it's their choice. They're going to be Mechal Shabbos anyway, which is what Rav Moshe said. But basically, the philosophy there is, it's much better that he go to the hospital and be less Mechal Shabbos than go to the beach and be Mechal Shabbos every second. So that would be a similar...
I've heard that also, that I just heard, like, in addition to that. I'm trying to see them.
You have a source. Always have it too young to learn.
Maybe you just answered my question. Because I was wondering about... He may be doing the things that for Pikuach Nefesh, but he's not going to take into account closing the door or not closing the door.
So you're right. He's not going to do everything with the Shinoi, and he's not going to think twice about it. But the bottom line is, a lot of what he's doing will not be Issa D'oraisa. So he can spend the entire day in the ICU, mitzvah, according to Moshe, as opposed to being on the beach, where he's doing Aveira after Aveira after Aveira. So Moshe, intuitively, would have been the way I would have passed it. The Beis HaLevi is a very, very interesting shita. It's based upon Sukkim. But it's a very interesting shita to say that if you don't do it L'Shem Shemayim, then you don't get credit for doing it. Well, very few other mitzvahs do we have like that. If I give tzedakah unintentionally, a dollar falls out of my pocket, the Gemara talks about you get credit for it in a certain way. You're getting stuck, even though you didn't do it even directly. So here you're doing it directly, you just didn't do it with Shem Shemayim. It's the same truth as Kavanah. And one can argue because Kavanah was to save the guy's life. Maybe he didn't say hit him the Yuchim and the Zumin before him, but his Kavanah was certainly to save the guy's life. He's a good guy. He's not to say religious, that means he's not a nice guy. He's a doctor. So he was doing it. The Shem Hatzolus the Farshos, which is a mitzvah. So intuitively, I would have, on my own, said more like Rav Moshe than like the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman.
Regarding the fact that in the hospital, you might get many cases or not of nefesh.
So again, that's more or less what he said, the same idea. Yeah, he's going to sit down with the nurse and buy her lunch, right? And he's going to do all sorts of favors. You don't know.
But even for the frum guy.
So the frum guy, we still haven't talked about that. I don't mind getting sidetracked, but it's obviously going to be a little bit more disjointed, but I don't mind answering your questions. But yes, we'll get to every one of those if we go in order. Okay, one more for now.
It has a play if my ultimate goal is some kind of management, and I have to be the one to write the schedules every month.
Okay.
Where that play to putting two of my nose in the mouth of June.
So that's the same basic shaila. How do you make up the schedule? So if you're doing it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so then you're not really making up the schedule. You're just the guy that's submitting it. But if you're asking people, so then you're not making up the schedule also. Because sometimes you say, who would like to be on call this weekend? And that's their choice. If you're assigning people, I was chief resident. I assigned who would be on when. So I went to a Shomer Shabbos residency. So I didn't have the problem of ever assigning a firm person to be on call. But Baruch Hashem, there were no non-Jewish people. There were no Jewish people who weren't from in the program. So that would have been much more of a problem. But again, a solvable problem. Their halachos did it. We would deny you to do that. So let's go back. So do you have to take a Shomer Shabbos residency? So this doesn't directly involve Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe, because if you're... you're not going to work on Shabbos. Nobody's going to say that. I'm going to a program where they don't have Shabbos call. So, Lani Asdati, in a perfect world, that would be the ideal situation. And that was a psak I got from my rebbein, that they thought it was better to go take a Shomer Shabbos residency program. It's not the only psak that's out there, gentlemen. There are poskim that say no, a person should go for the best residency that he can possibly get and not be Machal Shabbos. So that's a very, very strong statement to make. Nobody is saying, there's no posting under the sun that says, go take a residency and be Mechal Shabbos. And here I'm using the term be Mechal Shabbos in the truest sense. Not be Mekayim Shabbos, but be Mechal Shabbos, writing a death certificate. Because the patient dies Friday night, the funeral pall is waiting, and you have to sign the death certificate or else they're not letting the patient leave the hospital. What do you do in that situation? There's absolutely no Hector under the sun to sign that death certificate. But the head nurse is standing over you, saying, sign the death certificate. We need this patient to be transferred to the funeral parlor. So this involves the most important idea. If you are ever going to work on Shabbos, you better know Hilchos Shabbos Kol. That's why I put in the curriculum, I think, 3 lectures on Shabbos and halachos of Shabbos. You absolutely cannot work ever as a physician or any other healthcare worker on Shabbos without knowing Hilchos Shabbos Kol. I'm not talking about just theoretical knowledge, where in the blech, can you put something, chazara. I'm talking about practical halacha. Can I do this in the hospital? Can I do this in the hospital? You need to sit down with the Mishnah Berurah, but you also need to sit down with the Rebbe and somebody that's going to be able to answer your questions or be available to answer your questions. You're not a Navi, you're not going to know what's going to come up. And you may sometimes need to find out the answer on Shabbos. That's a very difficult situation. But sometimes you find out this question is going to arise Friday morning for Shabbos morning, and you need to have a posting, somebody you can call up and get answers from. You cannot work in the hospital on Shabbos if you don't know Hilchos Shabbos. So I advise people that are looking to go and not take a Shomer Shabbos residency, or even if you are going to take a Shomer Shabbos residency, you never know what might happen. Learn Hilchos Shabbos. One of the most important things that you can do as a student going into a healthcare profession is to have a Seder in Hilchos Shabbos. I'm not, again, talking about all the halachas of Bishul. I'm not talking about halachas that are superbly important, but aren't going to be nogeya. I'm talking about really going through what you're allowed to do in a hospital, what you're allowed to do to get to a hospital, what you're allowed to do in terms of phones, what you're allowed to use in terms of writing, and really become as expert as you can and have a Rebbe that you can go and ask these shaylos to. Because if you don't have that, then there really is no question. It's not a Shomer Shabbos residency versus a non-Shomer Shabbos residency. It's a Shomer Shabbos residency versus Chilul Shabbos. The only heter that you would have to go to a non-Shomer Shabbos residency is if you won't be Mechal Shabbos, and you're not allowed to. That's something that I think a lot of people don't understand. You don't have a right as a doctor to dispense with Shabbos. And there are practicing doctors out there that they do things, they're just halachically not allowed to do. They're nice people, they're not bad people, they just are unfortunately not knowledgeable enough. And the Chafetz Chaim writes that ein bor, you know, the Hebrew word bor, it's impossible if you're a bor to be a Shom Shabbos, just by ignorance. And if you don't know anything about borer and you're eating, of course you're going to be over borer 100 times, you know. You're a tzaddik, you're a nice guy. I'm Shomer Shabbos. You're not Shomer Shabbos. You don't know the halachas of borer. So you can't be Shomer Shabbos if you don't know the halachas of borer. You'll be a shogeg on every single thing that you do. Best advice, if you are going to go the route of a non-Shomer Shabbos resident, and for some fields it's almost impossible, very, very, very limited surgical orthopedic residencies in a Shomer Shabbos. Off the top of my head, I don't know any. You might be able to create something. That's maybe certain rotations, though, accommodate you. But if you're going to go into those fields, there are heterim to go into those fields. It's not also to become an orthopedist. But you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos, but you are allowed to use the heterim for Shabbos when you're allowed to be mekayim Shabbos. It's a very important point. It's probably the most important thing I'm going to say all night. Whenever you're going to be in a situation, at whatever stage of your career you are in, you're never allowed to be mechal Shabbos. There sometimes are where it's, again, not Mechalo Shabbos. You're doing something that would, for anybody else, be called Chilul Shabbos. But you're never allowed to be Mechalo Shabbos. That's the most important thing I'm going to tell you.
Yeah. How far can you stretch Melach on Shabbos in relation to
Kohen? So that's knowing Hilcha Shabbos. It depends. The basic rule of thumb is absolutely mechuyev to do under any situation, anything where it's true pikuach nefashos. To go and say, I'm going to do surgery with my left hand rather than my right hand, to do a shinui, is crazy. To say I'm going to not take the elevator up to a code because I can walk up the 10 flights of stairs and I'll get there and it'll be 5 minutes after the guy stopped breathing, you're a chassid shota, you're a fool. But the guy has unfortunately passed away and they want you to sign the death certificate, so to sign it with the shinui, it's Chilul Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. You're going to be in those situations. You're going to have to know what to do in those situations. You're going to have somebody else sign that death certificate for you. You may have to plan in advance, tell your colleague who's not Jewish, listen, I need you to sign a death certificate. Here you have a problem. You can't tell the Jewish colleague to go sign it because that is absolutely awesome. To tell him to do Pikuach Nefashos in your place, that's mutter, according to Ramosha. Ramosha doesn't say you can tell him to sign the death certificate for you. So you have to find a non-Jewish colleague that has the authority to sign a death certificate. Having a friend who's a nurse, she can't sign the death certificate. Having a PA, maybe that might be acceptable, that might not be. There are poskim that suggest if you're working in the hospital on Shabbos, have a PA with you, a non-Jewish PA, a physician's assistant with you. Let him do all the malachas for you. You use your brain, you do what needs to be done with your hands and your skill. Let him do all the writing, let him be a scribe for you. That's absolutely acceptable. How many first-year residents can afford to have a PA go around with them? How many hospitals will allow the PA to go around with you and write all your notes? Before you go and apply for a residency, these are the things you should be discussing with the residency. I applied for Shomer Shabbos residencies. I also applied to some places and tried to create a Shomer Shabbos residency because they were theoretically better programs. And most of them are willing to make a certain level of accommodation, but none of them are willing to make an absolute accommodation. So you need to know what you're going to get yourself involved in beforehand.
Are the best Shomer Shabbos residencies, I mean, are the best residencies not Shomer Shabbos? Is that how it works? The more exclusive it is, the...
I think that the more competitive any residency is, the less likely that you're going to be able to create a Shomer Shabbos program in the United States. The premier residency programs, or the more difficult to get into fields, you know, they have the top of the top applying for those five slots. So if they can take the top five students at Harvard, Yale, Columbia, Einstein, and Mount Sinai, and you come in and say, yeah, I'd like to have, but I can't work in the ICU on Shabbos, in the ICU rotation, and you have to figure out 18 different ways to cover me, they're going to say, you know, go take a hike. We got people at least as good as you, if not better than you, so why would we offer to you? So I would argue that most of the top places probably don't have Shomer Shabbos slots. It depends on the specialty. In psychiatry, it might be easier to make a Shomer Shabbos residency. In a field like ophthalmology, it might be easier to make a Shomer Shabbos residency, but even there, not 100% by any means.
Did you feel that you sacrificed on those much better, like...
I think that Baruch Hashem, when I went to school, I can't tell you today because I don't know, I would pick my residency compatriots, which is who you really learn from, against anybody, because we had the cream of the cream of the Shomer Shabbos people. So I had 12 residents that were Shomer Shabbos that went along with me out of 36. So we were always on with each other because we had the Monday, Thursday, Sunday schedule pretty much, and the residents who taught me were the Shomer Shabbos people. So I felt that I wasn't giving up anything in my education. I went to a very good program. Arguably, objectively, it may not have been had the same reputation as, but it was from a clinical point of view, it was Baruch Hashem, I think, a fantastic program. I'm very pleased with my education. Each of you is going to have to make that decision at each step of your way as to what you're going to do. But as a student, it's much easier. I told my professor the first day, I can't come in on Friday night. I can't come in Shabbos morning. And nobody said, of course, I didn't expect you to. Very, very nice non-Jewish person. By the name of Dr. Richard Sims. Sochol Atov, very nice man. He was a professor at Columbia, which is where I went to school. He said, I didn't expect you to come in. And everybody was terrified. Well, I was the first person, I think, that did that. Many people were terrified to say, oh, what's going to happen to my grade? Well, sure, I got honors in medicine. You can do very well if you're a mesh. I came in on Sundays. I offered to come in at other times. I worked a little bit harder maybe than some of the other people. I didn't even go in for rounds on Shabbos morning. Whereas the other kids did. I'm not knocking the other kids. I don't think they were ready to serve. But sometimes you have to decide what's important and then stick to it. And be a mensch. Most important thing is be a mensch. I hope I never made a chil Hashem. Offered to do extra. I created a Shomer Shabbos infectious disease fellowship. I'm an infectious disease physician. So I created a fellowship for the Shomer Shabbos. Pediatric infectious disease person would come to me on Shabbos. I offered to cover him for 4 months extra, above and beyond what I had to do. It wasn't the most difficult thing in the world. Pediatric infectious diseases in the hospital is not a very busy service. But he did 4 extra months of research because I covered him for those 4 months. I'm not such a tzaddik. It wasn't such a difficult thing. 1 or 2 consults a day. Stayed a little bit longer, not that much longer. But it made into the whole thing. Instead of, I have to cover the Jew, it was, wow, look what he did to me. Look how nice he was to me. And it turned what could have been an unpleasant situation because the boss told him, you have to cover me, into a, wow, thank you so much for allowing me to have 4 extra months of research. So if you do things as a mensch, you can accomplish a tremendous amount. But you have to know the halacha. You have to know what you can do, what you can't do. So in terms of Shomer Shabbos residencies, you're going to have to sit down with your posek and decide, are you allowed to do a non-Shomer Shabbos residency? And are you comfortable with the halachas that are involved in doing something like that? Now, all the other questions that were asked, I'm trying to catch some of them.
For that fellowship, did you have to do that to create yourself a Shomer Shabbos?
Well, otherwise I would have had to have taken call on Shabbos. Usually you didn't have to go into the hospital, but... I would have had a beeper, I'd been attached to a beeper, a phone, and infectious disease fellows get a call or 2 an hour. We proved all the antibiotics for the hospital. It would have been very much, I could have argued that it was the heter. You could have argued that it was absolutely life and death situation every time they called me, or at least the suffix, because of the fascias. So I think there would have been a heter. I was much more interested in spending time with my family on Shabbos, spending time in shul on Shabbos. So again, that may not have been a pure halachic discussion, that's a hashkafic discussion, which is sometimes more important.
And also, like, what if you're doing a residency or a fellowship that's like 95% about that?
So then it's a very, very big problem if you're doing that on Shabbos. It is a problem. I don't know an easy way to get around telling you that. There are potentially problems, just like you're not allowed to do an abortion. If you do an OBGYN residency, you better not be doing abortions. Just because everybody's in agreement that they're doing it, you're assisting in doing an abortion. It's also
so even for a non-Jew,
you're not allowed to do abortions.
Even for an animal.
But that's serious. That's something else. You would be allowed to do an abortion on an animal. You're not allowed to do serious on an animal. Yeah, you're allowed to shek an animal, then bakula, for example. It's after going. It's not a problem. Let's call it abortion. Right? You're killing the mother. You're also going to kill the child. So there is no isser in doing an abortion on an animal. There's an isser serus, which is castrating an animal. And that's an isser derais. But
what is it?
Castrating.
Serus. To be misaris. Not to sterilize necessarily. You can sterilize sometimes without being misaris. But it would mean to cut the genitalia. Out, take out the reproductive organ, so that's serious. That's also to do on an animal. I spent a summer doing research at the Weizmann Institute of Science in Eretz Yisrael, where I was, unfortunately, through lack of knowledge as a 17-year-old boy, I did serious on mice every day as part of the research project. Didn't know that was awesome. So, again, lack of knowledge can turn a person into a shogeg. I was a shogeg. But I had no idea that was not permitted. And the mice were very rambunctious. And if you did serious on them, which was a very simple procedure to do, then they were calmer. When you neuter an animal, if anybody would be going into veterinary school, so there are a lot of serum, a lot of problems in neutering animals. Not a simple thing. If you never thought about that, you know, veterinarians spend a great deal of the day neutering animals, so there are a lot of problems in doing that. So abortion, for example, if you're going into an OBGYN residency, you better go to a place that doesn't do abortions. My hospital, Mercy Medical Center, it's a Catholic institution, they don't allow abortions there. So if you go to a hospital that doesn't allow abortions, and you want to go into OBGYN, that's a much preferred place. Rather than having to tell them, I'm sorry, I can't scrub on this case, I'm sorry, I can't scrub on this case, I'm sorry, I can't scrub on this case, because that's what they do in a lot of hospitals. So you might intentionally look to work in a Catholic hospital, because it's sometimes closer to halacha than a secular hospital in many ways. And sometimes it can be easier to work in such a situation, has its own set of problems.
Are you aware if there are any Shomer Shabbos like dental residencies?
So I believe that there are some. There are, again, dental emergencies are, again, if they involve pikuach nefashos, which they can, so then you have to have to go in. If they don't involve pikuach nefashos, then there are shilas that need to be asked. When Rabbi Dr. Weissman comes to give his talk, he asks him that specific question about what he's done in certain situations, how he accommodates for that, and he can probably tell you more about the dental residencies than I can. So, questions about Shomer Shabbos residencies. So, actually, it took a little bit longer than I thought. There are other things, rather than maybe going into Bikur Cholim this week, there are a whole bunch of other things about the workplace that I thought might be worthwhile to talk about. Or would you rather wait till I get right into Bikur Cholim now?
Workplace,
okay. So there are actually a number of very... a number of very, very interesting considerations that come up in terms of being in a workplace, being an orthodox person in a workplace, that come up all the time. So number one question, which occurred to me three times today: can you shake a person's hand? Not a problem if the guy's named Bill. It's a problem if the lady's name is Susan.
It's not a derechi, but why would it be a problem?
So that's a famous machlokes, the Rambam and others, as to how we define derechiva. And is that an issur d'oraisa, an issur d'rabbanan, if it's an avos rayu, of arayis, so then he wouldn't be allowed to do it, even if it's not an actual full-fledged eruv. So it's a very complicated shaila. The bottom line is that there are poskim that do not permit you to shake hands with a woman. And I never, ever, ever knock any posek. It doesn't have to be the way that my rabbein, poskim. I'm not a posek. I follow what my rabbein tells me. And I have a little bit of knowledge about certain things, but even in the shul, I tend not to poskim stuff that I haven't heard from my rabbein. If I have a shaila, if I can figure it out myself based upon what my rabbi taught me, I'll quote poskim it. I'm certainly not a posek. So there are poskim that say that you're not allowed to shake a woman's hand. And they will literally refrain. If a woman sticks her hand out to them, they will stand there. Preferably, if you are of that halachic ilk, if your rabbi says, no, you're not allowed to shake the hands of a woman, what you should do is not cause a chilul Hashem. What you should do is say, please, I want you to know, I would be very happy to shake your hand. However, Jewish law doesn't permit a man to shake a woman's hand.
Well, she says that I'm in another orthodox duty to shake my hand.
So this happens all the time. We sometimes are our own worst enemies. So in a situation like that, because sometimes there'll be situations where they do things that are absolutely forbidden. This is an example of shaking the hand. So she'll say, but Rabbi so-and-so shook my hand. And then you can explain to them, oh, there are different opinions. And I'm sure Rabbi so-and-so is of the opinion that you can. My rabbi said that I'm not allowed to. And in those situations, be extremely polite, be extremely nice, and extremely firm. If you hold, if your rabbi says you're not allowed to shake a woman's hand, that any contact with a woman is forbidden, so then that's your psak halacha, that's what you have to do. On the other hand, there are poskim, including my rabbi, who have, I believe it's based upon the Moshe as well, who don't hold like that and say that you are allowed to shake in a social context, not if there's any chiba involved. If you've been dying to shake this woman's hand, so then that's a different story. That's for a different discussion. But if it's a social situation, as happened to me today, a woman came up to me at the meetings, who shake my hand, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so kind, she saw my yarmulke, and she withdrew her hand. Oh! Because she deals a lot with Jewish people, I knew. So my approach, based upon my rabbein, plus a little bit of a twist of my own, is that I never extend my hand to a woman to shake her hand. And I try very, very hard to hold something when I'm in a meeting or going into a meeting with people that I know will involve shaking hand. And I'll carry some papers and something like that. And, oh, how are you? And if I cannot shake the hand, I won't. But most of the time, you can't do that. And my psak for my rabbi is if they stick out their hand to me, I'm allowed to give them, as my rabbi said, the dead fish handshake. A quick handshake, I don't apply pressure with it. Then, for a handshake, the dead fish handshake. That was a quote that my rabbi used. I believe it's based upon a remotion, but I've never seen this remotion inside myself. Then, one is permissible to do that. However, that's only a handshake. Social kissing is absolutely forbidden according to everybody. I'm not aware of any posek that allows the kiss on the cheek, which is a very, very common form of greeting. So I'll tell you what I do in the hospital. I run a hospital. We had, just 2 weeks ago, an employee awards dinner. More than half the employees in the hospital are women. We have a lot of nurses. Nurses tend to be women. And I am in charge of giving them their award. And the standard embrace is part of the award. So what I do is I have a designated hugger. I make a little joke about it, and I have my DH, my designated hugger. I have one of the nurses there. She's my designated hugger. Everybody gets a big kick out of it, laugh at it, and I don't hug a single one of the women. Give a big bear hug to the man. Gets a couple of laughs. But that's the halacha. And the fact that you're in a public area and under the spotlight doesn't give you a right to go be over a halacha. Now, if I had a psak that said you could do that, I would do that. As I have a psak for my rabbi that I'm allowed to give the dead fish handshake to a woman who extends her hand to me. But I'm not aware of any posek that says that you're allowed to give a hug to a woman, you're allowed to give a kiss to a woman. And therefore, I don't do that. And if they come to me, my standard line in those situations is, consider yourself hugged. in Jewish law, a man is not allowed to hug anybody but his wife. And they love that. They love that because they're not used to that. In their world, many, many things are acceptable. Many, many things are acceptable. And to hear the idea that there's something special that only a husband and a wife have is actually something that they find very romantic and very beautiful. And you see, like, this light of recognition go on. And I think that's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Again, the bottom line is, you're not going to be over your sur. You get your psak from your Rebbe, and you follow that psak. And that's what you should act in all areas of life. But that's especially true when it comes to these situations. Now, as a physician, it's funny. I'm not allowed to shake her hand, but I'm allowed to do a pelvic examination on her. So there are hetairim to touch a woman in the context of normal medical practice. So you can do a pelvic examination on a woman and not be over any yisurim. And Chazal talk about that because you have the concept that umen torach biumnoso. When a farmer, the Gemara uses an example of a farmer who's mating two animals, there's an issur to watch animals mate, just like there's an issur to watch pornography. There's an issur to watch animals mate because it's going to lead a person to have hihuru, a person's going to have improper thoughts. So you're not allowed to watch animals mate. But farmers sometimes have the obligation to mate animals. The animals aren't mating easily on their own. The farmer's halachically allowed to assist them in the mating process. You're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, Uman Tarach Bimnasa. He's busy with his work, and he's not going to have this here hurt. Hopefully the same is true for a physician. He's examining a woman, so you should do it in a respectful way. You have to do it in a way that doesn't uncover more than you're allowed to uncover or is needed to be uncovered. You have the dignity of the woman in mind. And at the same time, you have a job to do. You have to examine the woman. So you do it in a halachically acceptable way. And there's no yisurim involved whatsoever. So it's funny. Like shaking your hand, that might be an issa. Hugging, vaday an issa. Kissing, vaday an issa. Doing the pelvic examination, head to come. So again, in the Torah, if you follow what the Torah says, all of these things make a tremendous amount of sense.
Just on the topic of Achil Hashem, Kiddush Hashem, what would you do if someone confronts you and says, yeah, you're in a very nice Jew, but I met some other person in that other place I work, and he's an absolute slob. He's, whenever I extend my hand to shake it, he is a nar, it's below me, or he's actually very
uncomfortable. You should try to explain. A person, again, a part of being out in the secular world, I think, is to make a Kiddush Hashem. And you should conduct yourself always in that manner. You have to realize that every single non-religious Jewish person, as well as every Goyish person, sees a yarmulke, and you're a rabbi. And you represent the Jewish religion. And anything that you do, that's what Jews do. That's how Orthodox Jews act. So you have a tremendous responsibility. You can make a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, and unfortunately, you can make a tremendous Chilul Hashem. Warren in Tainus talks about Rachmana Litzlan, the person who wants to commit a certain aveira. So we have an opinion that says he should go and clothe himself in dark clothing, go to a faraway place where nobody knows him, and if you have to, commit the aveira over there. Because you shouldn't make a chilul Hashem. It's bad enough you're going to have to reconcile with the Kodesh Baruch Hu about the aveira. To do it in a way that causes a chilul Hashem is like magnifying glass on the aveira, which is a terrible thing. Now, just to be fair, that Gemara, according to many of the Rishonim, is not to be understood that you go to a faraway place to do the Aveira. Many Rishonim understand that Gemara as go to a faraway place where nobody knows you, and all of a sudden you're not such a big shot, you're such an important person. Wear these clothing that aren't garments that are, you know, fancy splendor garments, and that will cause you not to do the Aveira because it will submit you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, subjugate you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're a nothing, you're dressing like a nothing, you're acting like a nothing, you're in a place where nobody's getting you covered. That will be a way, an Eitzah, that you will prevent yourself from doing the Aveira. So that's another way to understand the Gemara. But the simple reading is don't make a Chilul Hashem. It's terrible enough that you're doing an Aveira. It's not a heter to do an Aveira, but it certainly is something that you should be aware of. You don't want to do an Aveira in a public way.
This one is a real incident that happened to me. I volunteer in the hospital on a regular basis. And I heard somewhere one of the women colleagues I know was a little shaky at the morning where I should have helped her.
As part of providing health care.
This is a colleague, not a patient. This is a colleague.
Yeah, but as part of providing help, if you see a woman in a short fall, again, you're chassid shota if you don't help her up. But for Mario's example, if a person is drowning, a woman is drowning, and the guy says, I'm sorry, I can't touch you, you don't need that, you're a zavah, I can't touch you. Mario says, it's chosid shelter. There has to be a way to understand that the Torah is not given to people to follow it blindly. The person has to learn Torah, has to know when this halacha applies, when it doesn't apply. You're not allowed to eat treif, unless it's mikvach nefashos. But you can't say blindly, you're not allowed to eat treif. Because in this situation, you're allowed to eat treif. And in fact, the person is required to eat treif, he's mechuyev to eat the treif. The guy's not allowed to fast in Yom Kippur. He fasts in Yom Kippur, he's a rotseach. I never heard of a case where a person was very, very sick on Yom Kippur, he was fasting, he had had any chest pain, he refused to go to the doctor, refused to break his fast, and never he passed away on Yom Kippur. Of a heart attack. So that's not what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. He thinks he's being Shomer Shabbos, he thinks he's being Shomer Yom Kippur. And in fact, he's doing something that is an Isser. So you have to know what's allowed, when it's allowed. It's a critical, critical fact.
So, what if somebody knows, I guess, I know the doctors probably know more about a person's health, but my grandfather, he knows he's capable of fasting. And he's old, and the doctor's telling him he shouldn't fast.
So there's whole gemaras and whole sections in Shulchan Aruch that talk about what are the parameters for somebody to fast on Yom Kippur. The person says yes, and the doctors say no. The person can other be the person knows himself better. So in certain situations that applies, in certain situations it doesn't apply. You have to go through Shulchan Aruch. It's not a simple yes or no answer. In general, if two mumcha doctors say that the person has to, even one mumcha doctor say the person has to eat, we follow that person.
And it's nevera if he doesn't.
So there are situations where the person says no, I know that the doctor's wrong, that sometimes he could know it'd be better. But if it's most situations, that's not true. And the person is in that situation free to eat if the doctor tells him otherwise. If the doctor tells him he has to. Last question.
Back to what you were saying about shaking hands. Are there any poskim that say that you're allowed to, in those social forums, to extend your hand first?
So, Mistama de Ra.
Mistama de Ra, I go into an interview, and the person interviewing me is a woman, and I come in the room and sort of like out of respect and, you know, sort of like.
So, I think that there are. Ask your poskim what you should do in that situation. Lightly bow. Usually they'll stick their hand out first. I think there are heterim in that situation to shake the woman's hand. It's kiposik. I spoke about a number of the situations. There's absolutely no heter whatsoever to take notes on Shabbos. You have a class. It's a very important class. There may be a heter. Again, hashkafically, is that a good thing or not? I can't tell you how important it is. It's a shame you're going to be married. It's a shame you're going to have a family. To not be home with your family on Shabbos is very hard on the family. It's very hard on you. It's very hard to really be Makayim Shabbos, having the dominion, to make Kiddush, to have a Suda Shabbos, to have Oleg Shabbos. Anything that you can do not to be in a hospital setting on Shabbos, from a Hashkafic point of view, is a wonderful thing. And it may not be possible, and there are heterim. But certainly as a student, to attend classes on Shabbos, nowadays everything's on tape. Nowadays you can get everything online. Half the time the classes are empty on Tuesday. You have the professor giving his lecture through a microphone, you know, and you have all the students with some gadget. They're always in the classroom anyway. So to go to a class on Shabbos, unless it's absolutely something that you can't get around, is something I would strongly avoid. There is really no heter.
Can you tell someone to report it for you?
A non-Jewish person, absolutely yes. If you have a recording service, absolutely yes, you're allowed to use that. That's not a problem. To tell a Jewish person to record for you would be a problem. To take the Jewish person's notes after Shabbos, when he was taking notes for himself, I think that would be permissible. What about kashrus? So kashrus is a huge, huge issue. Going out socially with all sorts of people to non-kosher venues, and then non-kosher venues. You can go to a bar with somebody, a non-kosher bar. So your professor is going to want to take the group out at the end of a rotation. So are you allowed to go with them to the bar? They're bringing in food. They'll order kosher for you. What type of kosher? Is it going to come in with a cinnamon on it? Are they going to unwrap it for you? So you really need to know Hilchos Kashrus as well. This has happened to me, unfortunately, more times than I would have wished, and it's changed the way I function in some of these situations. Is I usually tell them, don't bother ordering for me. Because too often it happens that they'll give me the kosher food opened up in a bag. You know, the bag might be even there, but they put it out for me. It's a problem in terms of halachic kashrus. If a non-Jewish person has taken the food, or a Jewish person who doesn't have a halacha of ne'amanus to it, so you need simanim on the food. If the food is wrapped, so it may need one simanim, it may need two simanim, but it's a very big problem if they're trying to be nice to you, and they go out of their way to be nice to you, and they open up the food, they order the kosher, and they tell you, oh, it's from, and they give you a black kosher place with 17 hashgachas on it. But they opened it up in front. They opened it up before you got there. And halachically, that's a problem. Halachically, it's a problem if there are questions as to where they got it from. If it's not clear where they got it from, they tell you they got it from them, but they don't have a certain amount. That's why kosher places will always put the siman on it. They always have the wrapping on it from the bod. They'll always have it double sealed, the double wrapped with the hashgacha still on it. And that's not a problem. Sometimes they'll provide you with cutlery. They'll give you a nice, beautiful cutlery. You can't use that. You just use the paper. So you have to be comfortable. You have to be very much aware what you can do and what you can't do. You need to know who's conscious, what you can do, what you can't do. Can you use their cups? Can you not use their cups? Can you use their cutlery? They tell you it's brand new cutlery. It's never been used. So do they have an amanus for something like that? So some of the fancier restaurants, they'll send you inside the wrapping. They bring you fancy cutlery. They'll often do it with the same china. Some of the fancier restaurants will send the same china that they use in that store, and the store then, the restaurant will use it afterwards, but this is really never used before. So if it has a good hashgacha on it, there are ways to get around these problems. It doesn't address the venue. You're not allowed to go into a bar. So even if they give you glatt kosher stuff and it's in a bar, it's very, very, very problematic. Go ask the Shiloh to Rebbe if you can go into that situation. They'll get to the things, who you have to socialize with. You're not allowed to eat with them either. So they are entertainment. Because it's not social, that's business. So for business purposes, you're allowed to deal with that. But to go out socially with your friends, we passed the test, and now we're all, crashing. We're all, go have a good time. So there are halachic questions if you can do that with a non-Jewish person. So you need to ask these shalas to your rabbi. I'm not going to pass them for you, but there are shalas that need to be asked. Where they're going? Is it a kosher venue? And I'm not talking about the food. So what type of a place or joint are they going to? If it's potential problems of nichud, depending on the situation.
You're saying any bar is
so I'm not going to paskin for you, but my rabbi will paskin for me. Any bar is not allowed. Now, there are definitions of what is a bar. The fact that a restaurant may have a bar stool and seats at it with where you can order drinks doesn't necessarily turn it into a bar. So you need to know the circumstances and you need to present the shiloh to your rabbi and have your rabbi paskin for you. But yeah, there are certainly many poskim that will say you're absolutely forbidden to go into a bar, even with all four Jewish clients. And a bar is not the place where a Jewish person should be. Again, other heterim. So there may be heterim in certain situations. There are heterim to go into a non-kosher restaurant. I usually will make in those situations where I have to go into a non-Jewish, non-kosher restaurant, I'll make a very, very big deal about taking out the food that I have brought, usually myself, or if the restaurant supplies it. And it's clear and 100% evident to everybody that I'm not eating the same food that they're eating. I prefer not to do that. I'll rarely do that. I only do that if I absolutely have no choice, and I only do that for parnosa purposes, which they're integral for. But just don't go out with friends, that's a different story.
Yeah. Would you wear a kippah?
I always wear a kippah in those situations. That's the next thing I wanted to discuss. Should you not wear a kippah? So if I'm not doing anything wrong, I always wear my kippah. If I felt I was doing something wrong, I not only shouldn't be wearing my kippah, I shouldn't be doing it.
But for Mara Sinai.
So Mara Sinai is an interesting question. If you're going into a McDonald's, there really is very little Mara Sinai. It's much more of a problem if you're going into a I don't know what restaurant, like kosher style, like Ben's, or you know, there's a
Nathan's,
or something like that, where it's like kosher style. So there, somebody really could think, oh, I saw a rabbi going there, I saw a Jew going there, it must be kosher. Whereas nobody's going to think that McDonald's is kosher. So there may, in fact, not be Marisayan problems in some places. You know, clear-cut treif restaurants, I don't know if there's a Marisayan problem.
It would be on you, like, oh, that Jew doesn't...
I don't think so, because it's well enough known and established that, you know, you can get kosher food, pre-ordered food in those types of places. I don't think it's a question of Marisayan. You may have posted it and say otherwise. Do you have the same question in the Yuri Day, which talks about can you have a non-dairy creamer out on the flesh of the table? So it says you need to have some sort of a simon. You can't put out non-dairy creamer. Absolutely 100% non-milk, OU, 18 hashkachas on it. You can't put that out there in the plain container. When's the last time you went to a wedding when they brought out what's the name of the half and half? What do they call the... The powder creams, whatever they call
it.
Rich whip. Right. When's the last time you saw them bring out at a fancy wedding the rich whip container, which is what the halacha demands? They put it in a fancy container. They put it out there because it's already understood that nobody would have a chashash at a kosher wedding under good hashkacha that they're bringing out milk. It's a cool. Not everybody would agree with that. Margarine. When's the last time you went to a restaurant and they brought out margarine that they put on your potato with your steak? And the margarine came out with the original package of in a margarine which says that it's margarine. But Shukla says you have to have a simon. So again, there are certain situations where it's so clear and obvious that it's not a Marisayan question, that it becomes not a Marisayan question. So then that's how you should conduct yourself. Again, you should ask your shaylos. I'm not here to paskin for anybody. Ask whoever you consider your Rebbe. Asei lecha rav is one of the most important things. You should have a Rebbe that you ask your questions to. And I don't go to this Rebbe for this kula, I go to that Rebbe for that kula. This is my Rebbe. Whatever he says, and you can rely upon him. Even if he gives a mekel, everybody else says, no, you're not allowed to do that. He says, you're allowed to, but he's your Rebbe. You're allowed to follow him. You follow him for everything. Kulas, kulas, everything. He's your Rebbe that you go to. So when it comes to that, you really have to know how this kasha is well. You have to know what places you're allowed to go into. What type of entertainment is kosher to go out with? Again, I'm not talking about the food. You know, to go to a place where there, inappropriate humor, inappropriate dancing, inappropriate. So again, you have to ask yourself: are there heterim to go to such a place? There's isur that you're not allowed to look at. The fact that you know, eat black kosher there doesn't mean that you're seeing black kosher. So you have to ask shaylos. You have to know what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. So the final thing is just wearing a yarmulke. I mean, this is a good point to end on. I can quote you, there's a tshuva from a Moshe, right, at the beginning of the Igros Moshe, where he talks about that there's no chiyuv to wear a yarmulke. And there's a terim to not wear a yarmulke when you go to work. There are absolutely a terim not to do that. Is it a smart thing to do?
Why would you not want to wear a yarmulke? Is there anti-Semitism in hospitals, or you just never know?
So let's look at historically. There are many, many professions where if you wore a yarmulke, you either wouldn't get the residency position, you wouldn't get the get into that school. There's tremendous anti-Semitism in a lot of institutions to this day. It was far, far worse 30, 40, 50 years ago. There are many lawyers that will not go into court wearing a yarmulke. The jury will be prejudiced against them. Then their client, there are many bosses that will insist that you not wear your yarmulke. So for parnasa purposes, there are heterim not to wear a yarmulke. Now, when you're making a bracha, you've got to put your yarmulke on. When you're eating, you've got to put your yarmulke on. So there are heterim to not wear a yarmulke all the time, because that's really a I don't want to use the term chumrah, but that's really like a hidur. The word yarmulke, you know what it means? Yare Malka, right. There's a famous story with Nachman and the Gemara. Astrologers told his mothers that he would be a ganav. So his mother put a yarmulke on him. She put a head covering on him all the time. So she'd constantly be aware. Yare Malka, be constantly aware that somebody's above you. Mora goes and tells her, when he got older, he goes to Kiryat Nachman. When he got older, he was lying under a date tree, I think, or remember, some sort of fruit tree. And he lay back and his yarmulke fell off. When he woke, he grabbed off one of the ta'anim or whatever it was from the tree, and he ate it. And he fulfilled this astrologer's nevuah, so to say, that he would be a ganav. But he wore a yarmulke. That's one of the sources that we have. Yerei Malka. You should always be aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was above him. So from a halachic point of view, there are heteru not to wear a yarmulke. I will tell you from a very practical point of view, wearing a yarmulke, I think, is one of the most important things that people should do. I think it's a tremendous protective gather. A person has to make gedorim. When you're in the workplace, in the secular workplace, there are going to be nurses that are going to come on to you. There are going to be all sorts of potentials for avarice that you're going to encounter in the workplace. You work long hours with somebody, you build tremendous camaraderie with them. You have to build gedorim. You have to go and make sure that you don't succumb to very, very easy temptations. Again, Baruch Hashem, you're in a yeshiva. You've all been in yeshivas most of your life, even those of you that grew up in a non-yeshiva environment. Baruch Hashem, you're in a yeshiva. It's an old boys yeshiva. You're not sitting next to a pretty girl in clothing that wouldn't be appropriate for bathing, for a swimming pool. In medical school, I went through yeshivas my whole life. And you go to medical school, all of a sudden, you're exposed to a totally different world. And it's very, very, very easy. If you don't make your dorim, if you don't make very big restrictions and fences for a person to succumb. So one of the best restrictions or gedorim that you can put on yourself is a yarmulke. People see a yarmulke, sometimes they don't want to socialize with you. Because I'll tell you, anybody that doesn't want to socialize with me, more than happy not to socialize with them. Good philosophy. Number two, people treat you like a rabbi a little bit, and they won't, of the opposite sex, come on to you as easily. They won't invite you to certain places. Oh, he's a rabbi, you can't go to those places. I have many, many people in the hospital that know that they can't come up and hug me. They can't come up and shake my hand. How do they know that? Because they're wearing a yarmulke, and they know, Jews don't do that. Or they'll restrict their conversation. Very few people curse around me in the hospital. Now, I run the hospital, so they tend to be a little bit on their better behavior when they're around me. But you'd be amazed at how many people of very high stature, my bosses and people that are boards, how often they curse and they use foul language. Nivul peh is a terrible thing. And they restrict it around you somewhat. He's the rabbi. You got to be careful around him. So wearing a yarmulke, I think, is a tremendously important hashkafic protection. And the bottom line is that there's no absolute fear to wear it at all times, but I would strongly recommend. So, gentlemen, we didn't really accomplish even a third of what I would. Next week, I'm with you guys again. I'll cut some of the other stuff next week. But Bika Cholim. Bika Cholim is very, very important. I have Mar Makolos for Bika Cholim. I wish they had been handed out beforehand, so it's a good thing that we didn't have the share on this tonight. You're welcome to look at the Mar Makolos. I actually wrote a sefer by art school published on Bika Cholim. I'm not telling you to go buy it. I don't make any money if you buy it anyway. It happens to be a pretty good primer on everything that you're going to want to encounter. Cool, visiting the set. I'm sorry?
We haven't missed anything.
You haven't missed anything?
We might.
Okay, right there.
If not, you should.
Glad.
Okay, cool. I think it's a good introduction to Bika Cholim. It actually has most of the sources that I told you there. I translated them for people that don't have such a good background. And give you some perspective that I have. I've been a hospital chaplain, essentially, as a rav. I do a lot of Bika Cholim, and as a doctor, I do a tremendous amount of Bika Cholim. So, anyway, read as much of the Mar Makolos as you want. We'll meet here next week. We'll start right off in Bika Cholim. And I hope you enjoy tonight, and I hope you enjoy the whole Shia.
Okay.